We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
It's a wonderful joy and privilege to be here tonight. And my wife and I cannot begin to thank you enough for all of these years that you have prayed for us and faithfully supported us, stood behind us, encouraged us. And we just stand here tonight, we marvel at how God is blessing Faith Baptist Church. Amen? Amen. This is our first time to be in your new building. And the pastor gave us a tour. And it's just marvelous. We just thank God and we rejoice with you in just what the Lord is doing. And most of all, when you hear people getting saved and following the Lord in baptism, uniting with the church, that's what it's all about. Amen? Amen. And we just thank the Lord for you, dear people. I'm sorry tonight that, as the pastor mentioned, I can't shake hands with my right hand. Now, in Bali or in Indonesia, I would not dare shake hands with my left hand. That's against their culture. It would be very embarrassing to them. And I'm thankful this happened here. And not happen. By the way, I was in a church parking lot when I fell and sliced my hand, have 12 stitches in it, hurt my shoulder, already had an injured shoulder, as the pastor mentioned, and a herniated disc in my neck. And but that's not stopping us. I still have a mouth, and I still have my feet, my legs, and still can drive an automobile with one hand and partly with the other hand. And if I look kind of messy tonight, I can't get my hand up to comb my hair, so you understand. But we plan to go back to Bali in January, and we'll be having our national fellowship meeting of all of our independent Baptist churches all across Indonesia. They're coming to Bali for the very first time, and we are the host. And I'm the keynote speaker in that meeting that will have a great number of people, many that have never been to Bali. And in fact, we'd like to invite you to come January 24th, 25th, and 26th. So if you have those dates free, you come and be with us. Thank you again so much for, as I mentioned, for your faithfulness and your prayer support. And tonight I would like to share with you from our text, from our video. And by the way, I'm sorry it's not updated. Our son's a pilot for Delta, and he's really sharp with the computer and all of this. And I always had Windows, and he said, "Dad, you have to have an Apple." And I got lost real fast with an Apple. And we had planned to have it all updated before I came here tonight, but he's gone and he's on trips. So the next time we come, Pastor, it'll be more up to date. A lot of it is quite current, but there's different buildings and groups and so forth. It's all new, and I was hoping to have had that tonight. But I tell you how you can see it. You can see all kinds of pictures. Go to Facebook and look at John L. Malinowski. Don't leave the L out, because there's other John Malinowskis. But make sure it's John L. Malinowski on Facebook. And then we have a new website. You want to maybe write it down. It's www.IndonesiaThrive.org. And that's brand new. And you can get everything pretty well up to date If you go on Facebook or go on our new website that we have. If you have your Bibles open to our verse we have on the video tonight, Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I believe tonight there are three goes in missions. There are three goes in missions. Jesus said, go. Go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Some may go further than others may go, but all of us are to go. Maybe you have to go across the street or down the corner or wherever it may be to your family. But others go to other parts of the world. And we have gone about as far as way as you can go, to Southeast Asia, the country of Indonesia. And to update one thing from our video, we have worked 25 years on the island of Java among the Islamic people. And then we have worked 16 years on the island of Bali among the Hindu people. And so for these many years that we have been serving the Lord among Islamic people and among the Hindu people. And what a privilege. Don't feel sorry for the missionary or the missionary children. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to go. And when we went with five children, they got an education that they probably would have never gotten had they gone maybe to someplace here in the States. But we went to that country. In fact, when I was a pastor, I pastored for 16 years. And before I went to Indonesia, and I was pastoring in Fort Lauderdale and went down to South America and to the Amazon and down to Colombia and those countries and to the Caribbean. And I wanted to challenge my people for missions. That's the heartbeat of the church. That's the pulse of the church. That's the mission of the church, is missions. And after my seventh visit down in that part of the world, down to Haiti and all of those different countries, God got a hold of my heart, and I came back and resigned my church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I wanted to go as a missionary to Colombia, but then God used another missionary from Indonesia to challenge me for Indonesia. And that's where we've been ever since. My heart is still burdened for that part of the world too, down in Colombia, these countries in South America. But God wanted me in Indonesia. I didn't even know at that time where Indonesia was. But as we searched and prayed and wanted to know the will of God, He led us to the country of Indonesia. So there are those who must go. You must go. Did you know the 75% of missionaries that go to the foreign field, they come home after the first 3 years and they never go back. I've seen many, many couples in Asia that have come. They make a survey trip. We never make a survey trip. We went. We believe that's where God wanted us. We never spent the money to go and to see whether we wanted to go there or not. We went because God laid that country on our heart. But 75%, they return and never go back. 43% of those that surrender for missions never complete their deputation work. And less than 1% of those attending Bible college that think they might want to go into missions, they only less than 1% ever go into missions. And that brings me to this question. What about you? What about you young men, young women, teenage? We have a great host of young people. We have many young people, just like you have here, and children. And reaching the youth, that's our potential, to reach the Asian people for the Lord. We reach some adult people, but they're hard to reach. They're very difficult. And we work with young people, teenagers, young children. And we know in our orphanage, our Bible school. In fact, we have around 30 now in our Bible school, full-time students. And the reason we don't have more is we don't have the facilities. And the reason we don't have it, we don't have the money. I had a national pastor from Borneo, the island of Kalimantan. He called me and he said, "Brother Malinowski," he said, "I have 50 students ready to come to your school in Bali. They're ready to come. Can you take them?" And it broke my heart to say, "Pastor, no. We can't take them. We don't have the dormitories. We don't have the space. We don't have the facilities. We don't have the income. Because all of our students have come. Everything is free. The curriculum, their meals, the medical, their lodging, everything that they would need is all paid for. It's a ministry of faith to be able to help, to teach the Word of God to these people." But we thank God for our Bible Institute. And I ask you tonight, what about you? What about you? Are you thinking, is God working in your heart? I was 42 years of age when I went to Indonesia. My wife and I have been married 63 years, and 5 children. And much of our life has been spent, in fact, half of our life has been spent overseas in missionary work. See, maybe I'm just the old-fashioned preacher that I haven't found in the Bible yet where I'm supposed to resign or retire. I haven't found that yet. I believe in my heart. Now, others that may have retired, and it's okay. Sometimes you have to change your ministry or a different type of ministry because of different health problems and so forth. And the day may come that I may have to do that. But until God says, "John Malinowski, I'm done with you in Indonesia. You come home and do something else here at home." But young people, to surrender your life, to give your life. Here we are. I'm 83 years of age. And I know it's not proper to give the age of my wife. And I won't do that. I honestly, but she's only 2 years behind me. That's all. And so here she is, 81 years of age. And the goal at our age, and people say, "You need to stay home and retire and just take it easy." Yeah, you do that and you fall in a church parking lot, you know, trying to take it easy. I didn't have those troubles over in Indonesia. And I come home and I get wiped out here in our country. Then, secondly, there are those that must go. There are those that must go. Parents must, must let go. Parents need to let go of their children. They hang on to their children. They don't let them grow up and they become teenagers and they maybe go to college and they say, "No, I want you to stay home." But they have to let go. Parents need to let go. And sometimes a spouse needs to let go too. Not willing. Her husband says, "Yeah, I believe God's calling me, and I want to go," but the wife says no, or maybe it's the other way around. And then thirdly, there are those that must help others to go. And that's what you've been doing relative to us and many other missionaries. And how do you help others to go? You help by praying, and you help by giving. By praying, you pray for us, and you give faithfully. You support us. I don't believe, Pastor, your church has ever missed one time, one month, all of these years. Ever missed the support that you've been given. And you raised our support over the years. And we thank you from the depths of our heart. I want you to turn, if you would, for just a moment. And then we're going to share some real answers to prayer in Indonesia. That we really need to pray. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want to begin at verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, yet also helping together by prayer for us. I like that. Paul's writing to the church in Corinth and telling them, you're helping us. And all that they went through, Paul and his ministry, his missionary work, you're helping us. You're helping together by prayer for us. I want to share with you tonight quickly, if my time doesn't run out, four real answers to prayer. When I went to Bali in 1976, I was run out of Bali. We could not stay in Bali. We rented a home. We contracted it. And in the front, every place you look, you see a temple. And in the front yard of our home that we rented, we asked the owner if we could tear down the temple, because every day, morning and night, their worker would come with the offerings that they would give to their gods. And the owner said, no problem. You can tear down. They were Hindu, but they knew what would happen. The day came when we were going to tear down the temples in our yard. We were Christians. We wanted nothing that did not resemble Christianity. And so when we began, the kampung, the community came to us and said, if you tear down one stone from the temple, then we will stone you. And they gave us less than 2 days to get out of Bali. We had to get out of Bali. We had bought furniture, tried to equip our house as best we could. And we quickly had to take all of our furniture back. And thankfully, the store owner took it back, and we had to get on a plane and leave Bali, and we went to the island of Java. I waited 25 years to get back into Bali. 25 years. God gave me a vision for Bali, and I never lost that vision. I knew the need in Bali. There were not missionaries in Bali, no independent Baptists in Bali. And after 25 years, God opened the door for us to go back to Bali. How did we go back? We had to have a Bible school. Very quickly together, we found a few friends, and we put together a curriculum. We went to the Department of Religion, and they accepted our curriculum. And we were able to begin our ministry. We knew through the Bible school we could train the nationals, and they could start churches. And now, from one church in Bali that we have, two churches we have that are indigenous, we have from one church, seven other churches, posts that we have there in Bali, as well as on other islands. You believe that did not come by as an answer to prayer? It was a long time. Kept praying. I never gave up. So Lord, if you want us in Bali, open the door some way, somehow. Then in Bali, when we started our work, you saw tonight a little building where we started in a little hotel. And then we found this little house along the highway. We weren't allowed to put up a sign, but only on the wall. And in the front of that property was a temple on either side of the property. And so we began our ministry there, our Bible school and our Sunday school and our church. And people would come and they would ask about it. And so let me say this. I knew these temples that was on this property, and we had the one in the back, that we dare not touch them. And so what did we do? The church went to pray. And we prayed. And we prayed, Lord, somehow, some way, let these temples, the Hindus that come to our property here with their offerings and around in the back, of a mammoth one in the back of the property every day with their gods. They have millions of gods. Everything's a god to them in Bali. But we prayed and we prayed. And one day, the national that I was working with, we was in the building alone looking out the window. And it was in the evening time. And we saw this whole stream of people that was coming with baskets of fruit and flowers and everything, the women carrying them on their heads, dressed in their beautiful garments and all of their Hindu garb and their tikars or little grass mats. And they came to our property and they spread it out in the front of our property. And then the priest came. He had on his white hat and all of his white garment, his robe and so forth. And then he came, he took a bowl of water. We didn't know what to do. The national, we couldn't go anyplace. We were stuck. We were right there in that house. And so we just had to watch what was going on. They came to our property. Remember, we've been praying something will happen. This is a people, when I tell you what happened, I just want to cry. I want to thank God for what happened. But the priest, he went around to the back and he sprinkled his water, sort of like a Catholic would do. He came into the building and went into every room and he threw water like this. He came to our national, Brother Tony, and myself, and he threw water on us. About that time, our fists began to, get like in our heart, I should say, really. We dare not show our emotions. Then he went outside, and he had a long pole, and on the end of that pole was a knob. And he went over to one temple, and he knocked the top of it off. He went over to the other temple, and he knocked the top of it off. And then he came and sat down with the people, and they went through a ceremony. Then they all stood. They gathered up their belongings, and they left and went their way. And then Brother Tony and I could go outside. The next morning, you know what happened? Here comes a dump truck. Here comes a crew of men with sledgehammers and shovels. And they destroy these temples. They're worth, I don't know how much money, but all the intricate work that goes into them. And they tore down the one in the back and the one in the front on the one side, on the other side. And they hauled it off and dumped it into the Indian Ocean. People came to me and they said, Mr. Malinowski, we have never in our life seen anything like this ever happen. This is a Hindu island. You don't know, maybe that night, maybe when they came, that prayer that night, you was in prayer meeting and you were praying. Maybe you were praying for us. You don't know, but only heaven's going to reveal we get to be with the Lord. You know what happened also in our Bible school? We had a young lady. I put this in a prayer letter. A young lady in our Bible school, she became ill with lupus. Our funds ran out. We put her in the hospital as long as we could, gave her the best medical help we could. Then we had to send her to the island of Sumba. On the island of Sumba, these people, if a relative dies, a child dies, they will sacrifice a slave. And they call them slaves. They're workers. They're worker on the farm, on the property. And they will sacrifice, literally sacrifice a slave. They will take the blood from that person and they will spread that blood out, sprinkle it upon their land, believing that gods will prosper them and make their soil fertile and their harvest will be good. And we wanted to have a Christian burial for this young lady. She went back to her village, and then she passed away. Her father was in this terrible, terrible belief. And we begged and pleaded. We had to take 5 horses to give to him. And I think it was 5 large pigs also to give to him. And just as a gift to come and ask to have permission to have a Christian burial. And he gave permission to have a Christian burial. He did not guarantee, because his daughter died, that he would not sacrifice a slave. It's illegal to do that in Indonesia. But they do it illegally. They do it when supposedly people don't know. But you know what happened as a result of that also? And you may have been praying. That father has now given us a piece of land to build a church and an orphanage on this island, the island of Sumba. Another island there in that part of Indonesia. And then someone we have no idea from Australia sent to us the money to completely build the building. Completely from the foundation, the floor, the walls, the roof, everything on that is still under construction. Completely paid for. I have no idea who gave that money. Someone, some of God's people from the country of Austria. You believe that did not come by prayer? When you people were praying and trusting God to bless the missionary, to protect them, to watch over them. Another island we went to was called the Monkey Island. And then we were warned we had to have a guide because they worshiped the monkey in Indonesia. It's very sacred. It's very sacred. And we were warned in our boat, it was quite large, and said, when we get near the docks, your boat's going to be loaded with monkeys. And there's 2 species of monkeys on that island. They take every other day, they take turns coming out of the jungles. They come to the seashore, and then they take, it's amazing what they do. And they jumped into the boat, and they took out everything they could find. And you do take bananas or anything you can other than your camera. You want to protect your camera. But while we were there, another boat comes. A young couple with a baby, brand new baby. And here's a lady that is sort of like a priestess. We would say a priest or a priestess. She takes the clothing off of that baby. She takes water and puts it in her mouth. And she spews that water all over that baby. And then she prays and she offers that baby to the monkeys as a sacrifice. It breaks your heart. It breaks your heart when you see. And why won't people respond to missions? Why people are so hardened? Their hearts are so stubborn, so far from God. And I look at our political problems here in America and much about Islam and all of this and that. But people need the Lord. They need Jesus. They need the Lord. And here I am, 83, still trying to go, giving my life, stumbling around, trying to do my best. And others that are strong and able are not even willing to go, not even willing to go down the street or across maybe the city to try to win a soul to Christ or to invite him to church. And last of all, in answer to the prayer, I may have shared this with you. I don't remember, but when I was in Java, our job is planning churches. I'm a church planner. That's what we do. We train the nationals and to be the national pastor of the church. When I was in Java, we had to relocate 7 different times because of the Muslims. Our family was threatened to be stoned. Our house to be burned. Our people were threatened to be stoned. We were warned several times when they would see the crowds come. Our vacation Bible school, we had like 175 children for a vacation Bible school in an Islamic country. And we were warned, stop or we will stone these people in that building and burn that building. Finally, we got permission to go to one more place, to buy land and to build a building from the mayor of the city into the place called the black place, the dark place, prostitutes, gamblers, murderers, everything. They gamble the children away. I literally gamble the children away. Communists, sympathizers in that area, no church, nothing there. But we got permission to buy land and to build a church in that area. Well, praise the Lord, because the darker it is, that's the brighter the light shines. Amen. Amen? And finally, we got the building built. And then they would throw rocks on it and tear the roof up, throw firecrackers in while I'm preaching. But today, and we go through the community and they would shake the Muslims, would shake their fists at us. They would curse us. They would spit on the ground. When we had our baptistry built outside, even before we could use it, the first time they desecrated it with human waste. They put human waste in our baptistry. That all had to be sterilized, cleaned, and then we were smart enough to put a top on it, to put a lid on it. But my friend, I say this and I close. For the glory of God, today, we'll walk through that village and the people will run out to us and say, hey, Brother John, Sister Marge, come have tea with us. Come sit down and eat with us. And the children will follow us behind just like a train. They will follow us and to the church. And now we have a national pastor of that church. And the amazing thing, my dear friend, how God works. In that dark area, we were the only church there. Now we have other churches that are coming and steal our people. They started churches and they take away our people. But the amazing thing, in that culture, they have what they call a Lura, an Erete, and a Chamath, and all of this. But anyway, the man, our pastor, he is what you call a Lura. He has to handle the domestic problems of the people in the community. So when people in the community that aren't believers or Hindu people, they have problems, they have to come to our preacher in that church. And he counts us with him. And he's won many of them to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you could come to Java, You could come to that church and see today. And you go online, you go to our website, you see pictures of the churches, better pictures than you saw tonight of what God is doing. Why? Because churches like this pray. Amen? Amen. And missionaries believe that you're praying for us. And without prayer, we're weak. We're nothing. We can't go forward. We can't do what God wants us to do.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.